Welcome to the Every Nation Dorado Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message.
All right, so tomorrow is our day of prayer and fasting, and it is the first Monday, I believe, the first Monday of the month. And so it is our men's and women's prayer and fasting time. So we expect the men to be joining us here tomorrow at 5:30. Even if you can come only for half an hour, make it your priority to be among the other men. We are praying for male-focused elements and those kind of things. And there are prophetic words that will be shared, etc., encouragement that you will need for you and your family. And then the ladies will also be in a separate room dealing with that matter. And so please do join us. In the morning, we'll have the online prayer session with our devotion just to share and prepare us for our fasting day as well. These things are making tremendous impact in the realm of the spirit. Yes, and then we want to encourage each of you to join a connect group. If you are not in a small group during the week, you are not truly participating in the discipleship of the church, and so don't expect to grow if you are only spending 1 hour or 2 hours under the word of God. It is important and imperative that you join a connect group. If you are in a connect group that hasn't met for a year, please do sign up at the information table. We will assign you a connect group where you will be able to grow. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, so today we are culminating, we are concluding our series on Set Apart, a revelation of the holiness of God, a biblical view of holiness. And it's been a wonderful time. How many of you have been blessed, really just experiencing the Word of God, the teaching and revelation of the Word of God? This is so important because God does everything by His Word. Do you know why? Because He's a king. Kings say, where the word of a king is, there is power. Kings rule by decree. Are you with me? Yeah, they don't have to go and wrestle with nobody. They speak and things are done. And so God, He rules by, He does everything by His word. And so what you want to do is align and acquaint yourself with God's word and comply with all the conditions, and you will begin to see the benefit of God's word applying in your life. Are you with me? This is why we prioritize the teaching of the word of God so, so much. Okay, and so it's very important as we're going into this series being set apart. Today we're doing the last one on godliness in relationships. Now, before we go there, I really had a strong sense this week as I was praying for the church to just address a matter that pertains to global events that are taking place and that nations are busy aligning themselves in certain alliances in preparation for the coming of the Lord. And we have already spoken it in this church from this pulpit and given warning to South Africa for its prosecution of Israel and the case that they are bringing before the International Court of Justice. And we have said that, look, South Africa, you have your own problems. Number one, you don't have electricity. Number two, you have the highest crime rate in Africa. Your politicians are corrupt, including the president is embroiled in accusations of corruption, palapala, etc. You are xenophobic. 2008 is not long, a long time ago, and I was there. I was there in South Africa when the xenophobia was going on. They were burning people from other African nations. I couldn't speak any vernacular language, so I was a colored. You have to blend in. I'm telling you, it was dangerous. But South Africa, you got your own problems. And then you align yourself, South Africa, with Russia. You say, we can't arrest Putin when he comes to South. You align yourself with China, who was busy with the genocide of the Uyghur Muslims just the other day. And you said nothing, you brought nothing to the criminal court. There are other places where there are wars going on and South Africa is doing nothing, but it has now become the poster child for apartheid and is now carrying water for Islam. Because this war is between Israel and Hamas, who doesn't believe Israel should exist. They must be wiped off the face of the earth together with the alliance of Iran. So South Africa aligns itself with the people against Israel. Israel is God's firstborn son. Is the apple of God's eye. They are special nation. It is just how it is. Jacob, I loved. Esau, I hated. And now, what happened recently is that the United States brought to Congress a new bill that is supposed to be passed into law to impose sanctions for this kind of action against South Africa. South Africa exports things to the USA on the basis of this agreement called AGOA. Those things are going to be forfeited because you are picking a fight with someone that is way more consequential than you. Deal with the issues in your own backyard first before you go and take out the splinter in someone else's eye. We pray for South Africa that they will not get the full brunt of those who curse Israel and call Israel names. You say that it's apartheid, but in Israel, in the Israeli parliament and in the courts, there are Palestinians who are judges and who are parliamentarians. What kind of apartheid is that? That's like black people being judges in apartheid South Africa. Impossible. So tell your neighbor, instead of scrolling on your social media, read your Bible. Yes, because there's a lot of deception out there. Now, why am I raising this? Because it has come a little bit north. Namibia has not stayed in its own lane. It has also sent a delegation. We are in mourning. We are sending a delegation of the Minister of Justice and others to go and supplement that case against Israel. What problems are we looking for? We have our own problems. Look at the shanty towns in your nation. Look at the corruption in your own government. Look at the rats in your hospitals. And you are only 2 million. You could have been a mighty nation like Israel if you followed its example. But now we are following South Africa. We pray for Namibia, that Namibia will come to its senses and leave this foolishness. No one can prevail against Israel. I promise you now. No one will prevail against Israel. I promise you now. 1947, they became a nation. A few years later, all the nations, Jordan, Syria, Egypt, they all made war against Israel. Israel won. 6-day war, they won. Then, a few years later, they made war against Israel again. They won. Israel is supposed to be small. They will not lose because they are helped by the one who does not sleep, who does not slumber, he who watches over Israel. And we are saved because Israel is blind. We are grafted in. Theirs are the covenants. Theirs are the promises. Theirs are the prophets. Theirs are the laws. Theirs is the Messiah. If you disagree with me, I don't care. You didn't call me. I have to say according to the scriptures. Okay? Those who bless Israel are blessed. Those who curse Israel are cursed. We pray for this nation. The fact that we are standing as a congregation, we stand with Israel. Yes. If you disagree, come and talk to me. I'm a nice guy. I'm a reasonable person. But please, don't come with your propaganda from Hamas. This nation, this territory was given to Abraham and his sons forever. It was given. Sorry, The earth is the Lord's. He can give it to whom he wants. And that portion he gave to Israel. And it will not be given to anyone else. When Jesus comes back, he comes to rule from Jerusalem. Ikayalami. Amen, amen. Okay. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Blessed are those who love Israel. If you hate Israel, there's something wrong with you because Jesus is from Israel. Okay. Paul the apostle said, I would have given up my salvation for my brothers, the Jews. We'll teach about this a little bit more when we do Separated Nation, Set Apart Nation, which is our next series. Are you with me? We'll explain to you that you have to choose. If you are for the Lord, you are for the Lord. It doesn't mean that we agree with everything that Israel is doing. We don't. But we are not going to prosecute them. Amen. All right, so today, as we ending this series, don't worry, I have a short message for today. Praise the Lord. We are talking about godliness in relationships. And we have said before that godliness is not just external religious activities, that you do things that looks like it's good, but actually you have no relationship with God. The intention of a godly person is all based on a relationship with God. They want to know God. They want to walk with God. They want to relate with God. They want to hear from God. They want to obey God. They want to love God. God loves them. It is a relationship, the way that Adam related with God. Adam, where are you? They were walking together in the cool of the day. It's a relationship. That relationship has implications of godliness. And it is a love relationship. And we have said that godliness has benefit for this life and the next life. We said that in Timothy. We saw that from the scriptures in the book of Timothy. So the best thing you can do is be in godliness. Now, one of the key things is that you cannot live a godly life without relating to people. And we're going to see this from the scripture, okay? So I just have one point for my sermon today. Hallelujah. Just one point. Maybe it's a long point, but it's one point. And this is it. Loving God is loving people. Loving God is loving people. Let's read together here. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. We love because he first loved us. Can you see that? This is remarkable. Now, some versions of the Bible say, we love God because he first loved us. No, that is true, but it is not complete. We love, period, because he first loved us. So we love God, yes. Then we love our spouse, yes. Then we love our family, we love our parents, we love our neighbors, we love our colleagues, we even love our enemies. Why? Because he first loved us. What we're saying is this: if you are godly, this is the virtue that must mark your life, love. And we have seen it before. The word of God is very clear. The Pharisees came to Jesus and asked, what is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said, it is to love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. And then the second is like it, that you are to love your neighbor as you love yourself. These are this is the key of the commandment. They are together. They are the sum of the law. Are you with me? So if you know God, love must manifest in your life. Love for God and love for people. Now, there is this recent trend that has come through very strongly called self-love. And people are saying, no, you see, Pastor, you see, it says right there that I'm to love my neighbor as I love myself. self. So what I need to do is spend some time loving myself first, so that once I've loved myself, then in the same way, I can love my neighbor. Lies. No. This is not a biblical idea at all, that you must love yourself. No, it is assumed that you love yourself. You were selfish from day one. Self-love is selfish. Yes. This is what the Bible teaches, not your social media. This is what the Bible teaches. Everyone. The Bible says, even in the book of Ephesians, no one ever hated himself. No one ever hated his own body. People love themselves. Men will be lovers of themselves more than lovers of God, Timothy's prophecy of the end times. Oh, yes. There's no such thing as let me just spend some time on self-love. No. The Bible doesn't teach self-love. It teaches love God and love your neighbor as you love yourself, because you already love yourself too much. Too macho, excess love. Tell your neighbor, you love yourself too much. That's our problem in the country. The problem with the country is you love yourself too much. Oh, yes. You don't want to marry someone who loves themselves. Yes. This is the problem. If you love God, the Word of God will teach you how to live in a way. If you love God, you will not do things that destroy your life. But if you love yourself, it's because of self-love that people are drinking. It's pleasure. I love it. I love it. Yes. And so a lot of people have this misunderstanding. It's a deception, I'm telling you, that is causing you to be preoccupied with yourself. It is anti-gospel. You are not supposed to be loving on yourself. Hear me now. You already love yourself enough. No, Pastor Chris, if I love myself, would I commit suicide? Yes. It's because you love yourself so much that you feel like, no way. Me, as wonderful as I am, going through this suffering, no way. No way. Let's get out of here. Self-love is the one that makes you say, I can't suffer like this. I can't suffer like this. That's why, let me kill myself. And you have children. What will happen to the children? No, I'm loving myself. What will happen to your husband? What will happen to your wife? You care of no one else. What about your parents? You care of no one else except yourself. That is the truth. Hear it here. Hear it here. And we are in a generation that is inclined towards that. The reason why depression is so high is because we are self-absorbed. It is a depressive cycle to look yourself in the mirror and say, I tried to change. Look to God. Those who look to God, their faces are radiant. They will never be put to shame. But we live in a generation that loves themselves. So please, if you are a Christian, there's no self-love agenda here. No, please, please. Find me a scripture. Where's the scripture? No, Pastor Chris, it says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Yes, that is a presumption. You already love yourself. Give to your neighbor a bit. That's what he's saying. He's not saying, go off and love yourself now. And then let your neighbor starve because you're busy loving yourself. Why are marriages the way that they are? Because husbands don't love their wives. Let's not go far. We live in a generation where even the maternal instinct is going. That mothers don't love their children. We are in a generation that aborts their children. Why? Because of an 11 o'clock love story. Now I don't want to carry No. That child is going to give me stretch marks. I love myself too much to have stretch marks. So I must abort. Yes. And then, you know, the mothers are into dumping their babies. If it's not dumping in the trash can, dumping in the north. Or in the south. I saw, what are you trying to say, Pastor? Or in the south. Or in the east. Or in the west. Why? Because the child is interfering with my self-love agenda. I want to get myself a husband who's going to love me. I want to get myself a wife who will love me. Selfish. We can't. God has not commanded the child of God. Oh, man. You know, the in the early church, the concern of people was that the Christians were not taking care of themselves because they were too concerned about taking care of others. And most people will encourage their friend and say, my dear, you must also take care of yourself, you know. This thing of just helping the poor all the time, you know, and helping the widows and the orphans and all of that, you know, and visiting people in prison and all of that. You must take care of yourself also, you know. Quote, unquote, devil. The Bible says that I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer. How do you love someone who's dead? That's your self-love logic. I must love myself, but you are dead. Yeah. I need to. Mm-mm. Take your eyes off yourself. You want your marriage to be happy? Take your eyes off yourself. And if it's mutual, it will be happy. I meet with many couples. Many. And then when I'm talking to them, I can see, you know, selfishness, you can smell selfishness. Did you know that? As they are talking, you are just like, what is that smell? It's selfishness. Yes. Many people are selfish. You know, if they commit adultery, they feel more sorry for themselves. They feel so sorry for themselves that now look now, you caught me now. Everything is now ruined. Doesn't God want me to be happy? Now I have to be here in the house making things right with my husband or with my wife that I cheated on. Lord, maybe I should just divorce. What does that mean? It's marital suicide. Why? Because you love yourself too much. You know me. Me. You know which family I'm from. Hey. You are from the family of God. The ones who get crucified for no reason. The ones who get persecuted for no reason. The ones who love their neighbors and their enemies. The ones who forgive. The ones who are martyring them. No, what about justice? Justice is on the cross. Satisfied. Because justice is satisfied on the cross, you can give mercy. Oh, yes. Now, it says, we love because he first loved us. If you don't know the love of God, you can't love nobody. Even your love is a selfish love. Is that romantic love? 11 p.m. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. Liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. So the measurement of your Christianity is not, oh Lord, I love you, Lord. And I live my world to get out of my way. Your love for God is shown in how you love people. That's it. This is why, if you say you love God, let me go home with you and see how you treat your wife. Yeah, you can be a bishop. We don't care. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We don't care. Show us your hallelujah in the way that you help your wife at home. Especially when she goes like this. That's when we want to see if your Christianity is legit. Because anyone can love a wife that is like, my king, kissing your feet. Anyone can love my king. But when the wife is not lovable, ish, like Jesus' wife, us. Yes, we were a harlot. We were an adulterous wife. We break his heart all the time, and he laid down his life for us. If you cannot say you love God, whom you have not seen. You have not seen God, but you say you love God. And the one you see, the one you can see, you are not loving. Tell your neighbor, are you a liar? Tell your other neighbor, are you also a liar? Tell them, me, I'm not a liar. Yes, I love you. Right, give us the next one there. Quickly. 1 Corinthians 13, what is love? I want to know who love is. 11 o'clock. And I want you to show, let Jesus show you, no, I know Jesus. Love is patient. Love is kind. And let me say this to children. You must love your parents. There are some children, they are wicked. They don't love their parents. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy, does not desire, covet other people's things, or boast. It is not arrogant, proud, or rude. It does not insist on its own way, like the self-love guys. Love does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at evil, but rejoices with the truth. Love endures or bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there's preaching, it will end. Where there are tongues, it will be silenced. But these three remain. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Give us the next scripture here. 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, let us love one another. Look at the construction of the language. He's saying, allow us. Let us love one another. Why? Because, let me say this. If you are born again, you have received the love of God in your heart. The Bible says that the love of God has been distributed, has been shed abroad in your heart. You have received the love of God. There is no more love for you. You have all the love that God can give. It is in you by virtue of what Christ has done on the cross. Now, that same love is supposed to be released to others. So when you see someone in need, don't just say, roba. Just be warm, be fed, be encouraged. You have money in your pocket for the next order of shin that you don't need. It's just to look better so that you can love on yourself somehow. And you can have help and fed someone and paid for someone's school fees. But you are saying, breakthrough, Lord, breakthrough, breakthrough, prayer, breakthrough, breakthrough. You are praying for them while that breakthrough is in your pocket. Well, how can the love of God be in you, James? How can you say you love God and you are not moved by the trial of your friend? What kind of love is that? And so he says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God. You know, I was here, and after the I always tell you guys about the situations from the first service. So after the first service, I was here praying for the one lady. She said that she's going to beat this child of hers till the child dies. This is the anger that is here. 10-year-old, and the child is here. Hello, my dear. So I'm talking to the child. Hello, my dear. How are you? No, I'm fine. I'm fine. And the mother is here confessing that this child is a trouble. I'm going to beat her. And there's like an anger. This is dangerous. And I said to the mother, where is the father? Yeah, the father is not involved anymore. Then my little boy, 10-year-old, comes from downstairs as I'm ministering to him. And he comes to embrace me. Yeah? He comes to hug me like this. I say, hello, hello, my son. Then he goes. No one told him. I didn't teach them today, guys. I'm warning you. In between the services, you better come upstairs and hug your father. You understand me? You understand me? Yeah, I didn't do that. That is how children love their parents. And this was prophetic, because after that, I could minister, because the girl is 10 years old, my son is 10 years old. I could say, you see, the Holy Spirit has sent this boy here to show you that you must love your mother like this. And I was rebuking the child and tell, this is the problem in our families. Everyone is looking after their own interest. Where are the Christians in the home? Where are the disciples of Jesus? Last night I was watching a movie on the martyr called John Hus or John Huss from Czech Republic. He was killed for the gospel. And they tried to make him escape from prison. They said, they're waiting for you. Let's go now. And he said, no, I will not run. But you will be killed. At that time, they were burning pastors, burning them at the stake, burning. And he said, no, I cannot run. I must stand for the truth. But love yourself. Don't you love yourself? And he said, I love God. If you want to get married, marry someone who loves God. Not someone who does self-love. Yes. If you want to marry someone, let's turn the tables. Love God. Don't be self-loving yourself here. We already know you love yourself. We can see it on your lip gloss. We can see it. It's reflecting like a bright light. You know, I just need to take some time to love myself. We can see your lip gloss is telling us you love yourself already too much. It says, let us love one another, for love is from God. Whoever loves has been born of God. Look there. If you have love in you, you have been born of God. If you have no love, you are not born again. Don't lie to us here. Where are all the born again people? Woo! Woo! The born again people don't love themselves, they love others. No one ever hated themselves, but it takes care of his body, nourishes it, it takes care. How many of you are sitting on the floor? No one. Why? Because you love yourself. Want to be comfortable? How many of you want me to stop preaching? Many. Why? Because you want to go already and be comfortable. Yourself doesn't like to hear these messages. Can we go? Can we go? No, we must stay here. Are you with me? You don't have to teach a child to love themselves and be selfish and all that. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. They already love themselves. You have to teach them the truth and to love God. The best thing you can do for your child is to teach them to love God and to love their siblings. They learn it there. That selfish one that always takes all the meat for themselves. And then it says, whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. If you don't love, you don't know God. Please, let's go home with you. Let me see how you shout at your wife. And then I'll tell you, you don't know God. Mr. I got a very big God, a very big God, always on my side. It's a lie. You are your very big God. If your God is very big, we will see you loving your family. We will see you loving your neighbor. We will see you loving your enemy. Yeah, the others don't want to clap because it's like, that enemy, that enemy thing, Look here, anyone who does not love, does not know God, because God is love. If God is in you, you have love in you. Is God in you? Is God in you? Is God in you? Then love is in you. You have no excuse. No, Pastor Grace, just pray for me to have enough love to love my wife. No, you have. It's just your pride standing in the way, your self-love. Give us the next one. I think it's the last one. Yes. John 15. You remember the story of the Good Samaritan? Yeah, the man was beaten on the road, left for dead, stripped. And then who came by? The Pharisee, the church leader. And who else? The Levite, the priest. And what did they do? They made excuses. I'm late for my night of encounter. I cannot be here encountering other things. But it was a Samaritan who had a racial tension with the Jews, who was not supposed to stop, who stopped, who gave of his own olive oil and what to help this man, put him on his own donkey, walk to the inn, pay from his own money. You know, when we were growing up, you know, when you grow up in a ministry family, I'm telling you, don't expect luxury things. Because the luxury, the margin, the extra income that was supposed to be for your Nikes, is going for the school shoes of 4 kids. We could have had Nikes, guys. We could have worn FUBU and Adidas. But we had to wear Pep. Pep and homemade. Why? Because the other money was going for the other kids. Yes. You know, some of us, we are married to people who are too generous. You bought milk yesterday. You come to the fridge and you find there's nothing. And say, where's the milk I bought? 6 liters I bought yesterday. No, we gave some to the lady that helps us and some to the neighbors and all. But I want to have some cornflakes. Yeah, the cornflakes is also finished. At that point, you just have to say, Korabaraba Shindaraba. Go and sleep or fast or something. Because you are surrounded by some Christians. Unfortunately. Then you come home, where's the bed? No, Sister So and So. Sister So and So had a housewarming, we gave the bed to her. And where will we sleep? We can sleep on the floor. It's not a problem. Real Christians, I'm telling you, they are amazing. And they are rare. Oh, they are rare. And you are called to be like them because you are born of God. Yes. This world is dark because the ones who have the light are putting it under the bed. Don't put that light out. Many will come here. It's the purpose of the light to draw those in darkness. But we don't want. As we are coming to the traffic light, you are already lifting up your electric windows. Then you don't park at the light, you park a little bit ahead so that you are not at the corner. Then when someone is knocking on the window, you put up your praise and worship. I'll never be more loved than I am right now. Ma'am, wasn't holding you up. And you sing along. So there's nothing you can... On the way to Passion Night. Yeah, Pastor Chris, are you saying that we have to feed the whole world? Yes. Yes, that's a problem. That is the problem. Pastor Grace, are you saying we must just forgive? Yes. But Pastor Grace, are we not going to be a doormat? A doormat. All the time, I'm the one that's just being the good one. All the time, I'm the one that's just helping. I'm the one that's serving all the time. Is that what you're saying? Yes. Yes. He who wants to save his life will lose it. But he who loses his life for my sake will gain it. Yes. Yes. Please, husbands, go home, love your wife, tolerate her. Tolerate her. We know she's not like Oprah and things like that. You wanted to marry Oprah or Michelle Obama. Your wife will never be Oprah, never be Michelle. She is just Pauline. Love her for who she is. Wife, love your husband. We're not saying you need to tolerate abuse and all of that. There are interventions, but I'm telling you, the selfishness is on steroids. People are just flaunting their selfishness completely. But today, I believe there's an impartation taking place in the service to activate our love to another level that will cause us to experience what God experiences when He loves those who don't deserve to be loved. In Jesus' name. Amen. Can we stand? Thank you, Lord. Right where you are, just pray for your own heart that you will understand that you have received the love of God. Right where you are, if you've been unloving in your relationships, in your marriage, with your parents, with your siblings, but you are the Christian one, you are the born-again one, but you are the most selfish one. You are on a self-love agenda. You have already booked all your trips around the world, traveling to Barbados, traveling to Fiji, and other places you don't know how to pronounce. But your sister doesn't have school fees. Let there be a change today, so that you can reap the blessing that God has for those who lay their lives down. There are people here you also need to forgive. I sense very strongly that God is encouraging people in the area of forgiveness. If you are holding a grudge against a family member, holding a grudge against anyone, forgive them. They don't deserve it. That's the point. They might not even apologize. Some of you are saying, I'm waiting for them to apologize. I'm praying, Lord, let them at least apologize. Vindicate me, oh God. No. They might never apologize. They might die without apologizing to you. You are looking on their social media profile. You see them enjoying life, and it's vexing you. Look, just look at her face. Look at her face. You are not supposed to be following her life because you have not forgiven. God is calling you today. There are husbands and wives here. You need to forgive your spouse. You need to forgive your spouse and choose the way of love and humility today. Today, because Jesus has already paid the price. Can we lift our hands to the Lord? Just receive the grace of God where you are. If you are a young person, you've been rebellious against your parents, you have not shown love at home because it's all about you, the household revolves around you, you need to repent today, apologize, make right, humble yourself. There's a blessing for those who humble themselves. God gives grace to the humble, but He resists the proud. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There are some of you, you don't help anyone. You don't have, in your budget, there's never anyone else. And God is saying, you are born again. Change that. Begin to make provision. Give to the needy. Give to the poor. Give to the widow. Give to the orphan. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. If you are here this morning, you are not born again. and you need to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you may come to church, but you don't know Jesus personally. God is speaking and convicting you this morning. You need to give your life to Christ. You must be born again, Jesus said to Nicodemus. Unless a man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And there are many who, after the service, come and you ask them, are you born again? And they say, no, I'm not born again. And I ask them, why didn't you come when we called you to give your life to Christ? And some say, I don't know. May the Holy Spirit be convicting you right now. If you need to give your life to Christ, today is your day of repentance and salvation. So if that's you, you need to be born again. You need to receive Jesus. I want to pray for you right now. So right where you are, just lift up your hand up high so that I can pray for you. I see those hands. I see those hands. Is there anybody else? I see that hand. Is there anybody else? You need to receive Jesus. It's a free gift from the Father. But you can reject the gift or you can accept the free gift of God. So those of you, you are lifting up your hand, you want to give your life to Christ, I want to pray for you. Bring your bag and your iPhone and just come out and stand here. I want to pray for you right now. Come from where you are. Dia de teya galabazamandi. Ye bayala salige teya meala bazades. Breala korebesa la la yeresu. Malala baramasuros. Mea karatize. You paid the price for me, O God. Now I am set free because you laid down your life for me. Yes, Lord. There's no one else like Jesus. Everyone else died. But my Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. And he doesn't love himself. He loved us. And he delivers us from our selfishness. We are so selfish. We were born in sin. Jesus Christ makes everything new. Thank you, Lord. Is there anybody else you need to come? You are wrestling in your heart. Should I go to hell or should I go to heaven? I'm not so sure. Let me give you a hint. Heaven is better. Yes. Is there anybody else you need to come? We'll pray just now with these guys that are here. The day of judgment is coming. Look at Israel. There's war in the Middle East. There are other wars breaking out. The day of judgment is here. Make yourself right with this God. You cannot hide on that day. Jesus Christ already paid the price. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Is there anybody else you need to come? Or will we pray? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Okay. Stretch your hands to them. Those of you are here, you are coming to Jesus Christ. Me, I'm just like you. I also had to come to Jesus. A sinner like me. A good-looking, well-dressed sinner. Like me. Thinking that I was what? I had to come to Jesus. He is the only one whose blood washes away sin and who makes us right before God. And he gives himself to us. And from that day, you are now a new creation in Christ Jesus. So let all your faith and hope be in Jesus today. Let's pray for them as they are here. Those of you here in front, open your hands like this. You are receiving eternal life. Say with me, in the name of Jesus, Father, I come to you just as I am. I know that I'm a sinner. And I believe you died for me. You suffered for me. For my sins. For my wrongdoing. For my anger. For my rebellion. And on the third day, you were raised from the dead. Lord Jesus, you are alive. So you can save me now. Come into my heart. I receive you as my Lord, as my Savior, as my Master. From today, I receive forgiveness for all my sin. I receive a new heart. I receive a new spirit. I receive the free gift of eternal life. From today, I'm a new creation. Heaven is my home. God is my Father. And I am a man and a woman of the gospel. In Jesus' name, I'm free. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. The Lord is churning a new chapter for you, sir. You know, the past is dark, but there's a light in front. Okay? Yeah. Yeah. This is a lot of rejection from different people, but God is accepting you today. Okay? He's making a way for you where there seems to be no way. Okay? You will see how the Lord will restore things that have been taken from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, guys, there's somebody standing behind you. Say hello to them. They love you. They are here to support you, to encourage you, to bless you. And then we want to spend some time. We want to spend some time with you, praying for you some more, giving you some instruction and all of that. So just follow these ladies over here, you know, Adelaide and Natasha. You know, just follow them. You'll be a little bit on the balcony. They'll speak with you. You can ask questions and all, and then you can come back with us. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Take your bag along, especially if you have an iPhone. Us, we don't have iPhones, so nobody will steal our bag. there's somebody here. This is like a growth that the doctor said there's a growth that they found. I don't know if this is like, okay? God wants to intervene in your life, that fear will not torment you in your life in Jesus' name. Okay? Yeah. We received some testimonies about people getting debts canceled this past week. You remember we prayed for that? Yeah. I heard from two people, debt cancellation. So I just want to declare that again. I just feel the Lord is really, the Lord is telling me that there are people that are waiting for their debts to be cleared so that they can go back fresh into fresh debts so that they can pay for some self-love things that they need. So I'm here to tell you that you must not go back to Egypt, okay? If you need help with finances and all of that, please come and pray here and then say, do you have a budget, my sister? You are praying for me. Do you have a budget? Can you tell me how it works? May God give you wisdom. Are you with me? The debtor is slave to the lender. And some of you, cash loan 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Then you move to the family. 1, 2, 3. Then you move to the friends. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And now you are avoiding people and you are in church. God is saying, this is not the way to live. Okay? In the mighty name of Jesus, receive deliverance from every kind of bondage against your finances, because in this way you cannot help the poor. You cannot help the widow. You cannot help the orphan if you are in bondage to debts. So, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray for debt cancellations. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, everyone that can receive this word, let the miracles be released in Jesus' name so that they will have more than enough to take care of their families and be generous in every occasion. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen. If you are struggling in your marriage, thus said the Lord, love never fails. Love never fails. Love never fails. Love never fails. There's somebody else here, you were betrayed by a best friend. You were betrayed by a best friend. This is like, I will never forgive. I will never, never forgive. And God is saying, yes, you will. Yes, you will, and you will do it happily because I'm setting you free.
says the Lord. So those words, please come after the service. We want to minister to you. We want to pray for you. We want to encourage you in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you lift your hands to the Lord? Receive the blessing of the Lord. May the Lord bless you. Oh, yes. May the Lord bless you and may the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face and his favor to shine on you. May the Lord lift up his countenance and his protection over you and give you peace. May you sleep deeply and well. May your children prosper. May you be protected from the diseases that come at night or during the day. In the mighty name of Jesus, may every affliction of the devil leave you today. Any problem, any issue that you stepped in here with today, may you leave it here. May it depart from you and your children today in the mighty name of Jesus. And may the blessing of the Lord shine on you like that lip gloss we were praying for. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful Sunday. If you need prayer, the leaders will be here. You saw we anointed them, so just come and you can receive your miracle. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. For more information about this podcast and other resources, please visit envintook.org.